It's Monday, 6th of October 2014. This is HPR episode 1611 entitled HPR Community News for September 2014 and is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 58 minutes long. Feedback can be sent to admin@hackerpublicradio.org or by leaving a comment on this episode. The summary is: Dave is at odd camp, Ahuka doesn't like my voice, and Ken is looking to replace me.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon and you're listening to HPR Community News for September 2014. This is a monthly show that is done by volunteers within the HPR community. And joining me tonight is Ahuka, and our normal co-host Dave is away having a wonderful time at Odd Camp. So how are you doing today, Ahuka?
A little bit of a cold, but other than that, doing fine.
Excellent stuff. So how was your vacation?
It was good. It was somehow the very first weekend of August was the Dublin Irish Festival. That's Dublin, Ohio in the United States, Ken, but it's as close as I'm going to get for now. And then the following beginning of September, it was another folk festival. So they were all good fun.
So what happens at a Dublin Irish Festival?
A lot of Irish music and dancing and cultural stuff. So it's like 3 days of geeking out on your Irishness, I guess.
Excellent. So you like Irish music, do you?
Oh, love Irish music.
Oh, nice. That's interesting. I might talk to you offline about that sometime. Anyways,
sure.
Back... dragging us back to the point, could you introduce the new hosts for this month, please?
Well, it looks like we've got three of them. First is Steve Smethurst, and the second is To Be Frank, and the third is Go Fear.
And we would like to welcome them to the network and look forward to hearing some fantastic shows from them. So, without further ado, let's quickly mosey through some of the shows for last month, starting with HPR Community News for August 2014, which was a Dave and I one, left stranded, so the people went on vacations. Just as a by-the-by to anybody, this is an open show. We normally schedule it around 1600 UTC, the Saturday before the first Monday of the month, which seems to be fairly complicated. But if you want to do this at a different time, you want to get a group of people together, then feel free to do that. That's absolutely no problem. All the show notes now are more or less all automatically generated by a Perl script, as it is my intention to replace myself and everybody else here with Perl scripts if we could possibly do that.
Yep, more the merrier.
So the next day we had Beginner's Guide to the Night Sky 3, A Wee Dot in the Dark Sky. And this is Andrew Conway from TuxJam. And I'm really enjoying his accent and I'm really enjoying this. It's nice to have somebody refer to the constellations and then have a scientific, using them for scientific purposes.
Oh, absolutely. I love this stuff. I get a lot of videos from NASA and the European, like this European Southern Observatory and things like that. So I love it.
More of these, the better, as far as I can say. Then we had the ladies and gentlemen of the HBR Audiobook Club going strong with Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom. And they have done a really excellent job on the show notes. Long may that continue, because I can't stress how important the show notes are. Although the spoiler highlight to read, while it seems like a good idea, has presented me with problems on my tablets. So I'm a bit concerned about that. But we can always link, if you have spoilers, we can link to another page for spoilers. That's not a problem.
Yeah, the only thing that occurs to me is, why does it necessarily have to be audiobook? I mean, if you're going to get a bunch of people together to discuss a book, you could discuss any kind of book, couldn't you?
You could, but I guess the point here is we're a podcast and people are naturally listening to podcasts will kind of lend themselves to other books as well, or to other media in the podcast format.
So, no, I understand that. I listen to so many podcasts, I don't have time for audiobooks.
Yeah, I'm actually listening to two, thanks Dave Morris with his 4,000 podcast thing. I'm listening to Escape Pods, a lot of those short fiction episodes, which are really nice. Just, you can turn yourself off for a half an hour. It's a podcast format story, and it's quick, and really makes me remember the days when I read lots of short science fiction stories. But anyway, that's by the way, to Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom by Cory Doctorow. This is one that I actually didn't read because, I don't know, some of Cory Doctorow's stuff just never kind of floated my boat. Nothing intentional. The fault, I'm sure, is all mine, but I don't get it. He just doesn't turn me on.
Well, so be it.
Indeed.
But we did get the a wonderful program from Mr. Gadgets.
We did, yes. Tell us about that.
The Kansas City Maker Faire. I've met Mr. Gadgets at Ohio Linux Fest. I don't know whether I'm going to see him there this year. That's still several weeks away. But he's a wonderful fellow, and it was really nice hearing. I love hearing about Maker Faires just in general. I think it's a wonderful movement.
I couldn't agree more. Love the concept myself. I find like the Maker Faire is like the part in the Zen diagram where myself and my wife's interests meet, you know?
Oh, yeah, and I think a lot of, when you talk about Maker Faires, you're talking about hardware stuff primarily, but that's a big part of where I think I worry about what's happening to the internet. Is that it's becoming a purely consumer medium and not a place where people get in and do things.
Yeah, but there's still, yeah, I see your point, but there's still I was just showing the kids today the TCP/IP book on the shelf going, right, that's the internet, read that, and you know how it works. So, you know, you can always, well, hopefully you can always go down, we shouldn't take it for granted, but you can go down to the packet level and invent more stuff. Although, that said, I do worry a little bit about how much stuff is being transferred over the HTTP protocol. People seem to think that the only port that exists is port 80.
Yep.
Anyway, the following day we had the XFS file systems by JWP. Like these, they're short, they're punchy, and they just give you enough information to watch it. They're the aperitif of file systems.
Oh, yeah, I love it. You know, I guess the only question I have is the series over now? Because I was looking ahead. I'm not sure I see much coming up.
Well, there is the 14, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Nope, they're over. The Better FS, Butter FS is the last one. And that was on the 3rd. So next month will be the next month review. We'll be discussing that one. But yeah. Well, good things must come. Yeah, it's not like Open Office; you can drag it out forever. I'm afraid file systems end at a particular point in time.
Are you saying after 2.5 years I'm dragging it out?
No, not at all. yes. The following day, Ultimate Cooking Devices, like these ones, real world sort of stuff. And I actually went to all the links. You should go to the links in this because I had no idea what a Weber grill was, but then I quickly found out what it was.
Your basic kettle grill.
Yeah, exactly. Well, oddly enough, in Ireland, the word barbecue is synonymous for a rainy day. So barbecues tend to be an inspirational item as opposed to something you actually eat. Anyway, open source news break, OpenCMS, tools for making presentations, Wiki Project Med. And this is part of the newscast series. And tell us what's going on in the opensourcenews.com, which is
I like what Semiotic is doing here because the first few that he did was just real quick rundown in just a few minutes. But he's now invited someone else to come in and join him and actually discuss some of this stuff, which I think makes it a lot more attractive.
Yes, it's a bit like putting something on a cracker. I'm using a lot of food analogies tonight. I have no idea why, but anyway, yes.
Dinner?
Yeah, no, I didn't. Far from it, in fact. I did notice that, and I like the direction in which it's going, and I hope he continues. It was a bit like the HBR community news. You're essentially talking about the shows as well, and if there's a few people on, then you can get a bit of a conversation going as well, so a lot less dry.
Yep.
So, part of the Programming 101 series, why C++? Gorgiola again, with the C++ programming language and why you should use it.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to say because I'm not a programmer.
I got a lot from this, to be honest. I don't think I'll be running out and start programming C++, but this is a nice foundation stone for a little bit of background to the language. You don't feel as nervous going into it. I listened to the show when I was doing a little bit of Googling, and an hour and a half later, I was going, okay, I've got to stop now. I find it hard enough in Perl. This is pretty cool. The next day, we had Andrew Conway with Steam and Wine with Linux, how to coax Windows-only Steam game to work under Steam with GNU/Linux.
I like that because I do enjoy the occasional game, and I do have Steam running on my Kubuntu box, and I've got a number of Linux games, but it was sort of interesting to think, okay, I wonder if I can get some of my older games that are Windows only to run this way.
Any luck?
Oh, I haven't had the chance. Yeah.
And the following day, more financial functions with Mr. Ahuja.
Indeed.
Mortgage repayment schedules. It's depressing that I need that one, but yes.
Well, that was, I was asked to do something about that by Pokey way back when I first started. So it's like a year and a half ago, he sent me an email saying, boy, it'd be really nice to have this. So I saved the email and decided this was a good way to work all of that in and show people how it's done. It's one of those things that a lot of people probably have a use for, and that's the main thing here. I can't document every single feature of LibreOffice, or the series would run into the next century. But if it's something that I think a lot of people would be interested in, I want to try and work it in.
No, absolutely. So the following day, we had a musing by Klaatu about the word hack. And I liked this show in general, but I did have I think he was being a bit precious with the word hacker. I mean, what does it matter? If somebody thinks I'm a hacker, all the better. Then send in a show. Or you found a hack, then send in a show. Yes, I understand that if you have a hack, then it's that you didn't do yourself, it's somebody else's hack, but it's still a hack. But again, I guess that was his point also.
Indeed.
So, love this one. First time HPR host, guides to EVA utilities, or EVA from Spacewalk. And I am this person in the cinema. And it's funny, actually, there was in 2001, they had a trick where, he goes from the pod into he throws himself into the airlock. And in the new version of Battlestar Galactica, they did a very similar thing, and they were a lot worse off, although it was about the same amount of time. And I wonder if he's doing another show, which of those two scenes would have been more accurate?
From what I've read, you know, you do have a minute or two before real serious problems start to happen.
Yeah, that's what I thought as well, but now you've blown the show. He doesn't need to send it in. Yes, he still needs to send
it. He may not agree.
Good. Ah, yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah, you can stay out for ages. Not a problem. Yeah, have a smoke, a cigar, you'll be grand. The following day, we had you with, I don't know if it's the following day, I should put in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here, but anyways, you had privacy and security. And,
yeah, well, yeah, you know, started off with a lot of stuff about email encryption, but, you know, there's only so much you can say about that. So it seemed like it was time to move into some of the other areas. And I thought it covered
salting hashing quite good and why you should, yeah, the whole, here's how it works. Very, very clear. Nice. I liked it. Didn't have any comments normally with your shows. I deliberately try and find something just to annoy you, but no, nothing that annoyed me in that one at all.
Okay.
Here's one that I was trying to organize for a long time with Ingmar Steiner from the Mary TTS project, for any of you who heard it, was developer of the text-to-speech engine. And I really enjoyed doing this interview, which essentially consisted of me just shutting up and letting somebody who's far more learned than myself talk.
And I loved this interview, and I really hope you'll have Ingmar back on, because we tend to think about, okay, this is very necessary for people who have visual impairments, and it is, but, you know, I really think this is the way, at some point, we're all going to be interacting with computers, and, you know, these people are creating the future for us.
Absolutely, and I just heard that Accessible Computing I just heard that the Accessible Computing Foundation have moved away from Mary TTS because of its footprint was quite large, which I think we should have Jonathan Nadeau on to tell us about that.
Yeah, well, he may well have his reasons, but yeah.
Yeah, I'd definitely like to hear them, but regardless, I think it's an interesting system. And then we had the ZFS, which most BSD people rave and rant about.
Good luck to them.
it seems to do a very very good job, and although not for small systems, from what I understand.
Yeah, I'm not running BSD, so it doesn't look like I'm going to have any chance to try it soon.
Well, you can install it on Linux as well. There's a way to do that. Anyway, Klaatu introduced new web developers to LAMP. Kind of a nice little episode again that Klaatu threw in. Do appreciate those.
We do indeed. I always love hearing from Klaatu. I also subscribe to his GNU World Order podcast.
Yes, who doesn't? Yeah, and I think you take stuff for granted that people would know how to do this. So I think obviously he's had a reason where I can't imagine anyone paying somebody else or downloading a set up a LAMP stack easy utility when it is actually as easy as he makes it out.
Indeed.
Then we had another open source news break, this time data-driven journalism, open source password management, and open electronics.
Good stuff. A lot of good stuff there.
Very much. And new host, To Be Frank, which I love the name, or the handle, is absolutely brilliant, gets to speak to Matthew Garrett, and nice piece of editing, very professionally done. Very impressed with this as a first-time episode, has to be said.
Yeah, and Matthew Garrett's one of those people that I want to hear from. I really, you know, liked being able to hear what he had to say.
Absolutely. Got a chance to listen to one of his talks way back when he was a lad. Another person that is way above my head. So the following day, we had a new host, Gopher. Is it Gopher? Of course, Gopher. Yes. And this is his required "How I Got Into Linux" episode from 0 to 1. Cool stuff.
Yep, and always welcoming a new host. We love to hear from these people. We have plenty of slots for anyone who wants to record a show.
Oh, yes, we do. More about that and on. Then the following day, descriptive statistics on how we can make basic measurements about a population. And I was thinking about this. Yeah, I did a lot of this stuff when I was when I was an actual engineer. I was thinking to myself, you know, a lot. This is a prime example of an HPR episode where a lot of people are just going to go file it away. But there's going to be one person sometime, you know, the night before an exam, and we'll download this episode and we'll get down on his or her knees and thank the gods for the internet.
Yeah, well, I must admit it was this one and the one after it where I talk about inferential statistics. It may be a little indulgent on my part because I used to teach statistics. I actually enjoy this kind of thing. And some people may remember an episode I did some months back about how to understand polls, where I brought in the statistics behind public opinion polling.
Yeah. I love that episode, by the way, as well.
So
feel free to indulge yourself as often as you like.
But I think the main thing I wanted to get across here is that for a lot of the stuff where you might want to use statistics, LibreOffice Calc is all you need. You know, I remember when I first started teaching this stuff, I had to buy a statistical package and use that to teach. And I wouldn't have to do that now. I could just take LibreOffice Calc in there and it's got everything I need.
Yep, things have come on a lot as I've lost my tab. One moment. So I hope you're going to do more of these. You should definitely don't be afraid about indulging their own passions here in HPR, because I guarantee you there are people interested in them. So keep these ones coming, please.
Oh yeah, and there's more. I think I've got about 6 more episodes in Calc that I have written. I just need to record. But I'm not sure my voice would hold out very well right now. So maybe next weekend.
Yeah, keep them coming, because you're supplying the backbone of stuff that keeps the network up and running. Don't forget that.
Yeah, and then I'm already pulling together material to swing into Impress, which is the slide deck program.
Okay, the following day we had How to VNC. Klaatu talks about how to get VNC up and running. And during this episode, Klaatu mentions that VNC is secure. It is not. It is not a secure method to connect to other systems at all. The protocol itself is not secure, and it is not secure by virtue of the fact that it is, it only uses a username and not a password, and better yet, not a client shared keys like SSH does. So if you are doing connections on VNC, you must and should run it over an SSH or a VPN connection.
Yeah, and you know, to me, the takeaway there is just security is really hard. I don't think people always appreciate just, you know, you look at stuff like, we just had the whole shell shock thing of various vulnerabilities in Bash that have been there for 20 years, you know, because no one happened to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And times changed. I don't think people expected it to be used as far as it has. But VNC, their excuse was that it was on the local network, and they always said that you should send it over a secure tunnel. Now, there are some versions that do use encryption end-to-end, but I always send it via secure tunnel. I think Klaatu was sending it over a secure tunnel. He was doing tunneling in via an SSH port and coming up via localhost, in which case the attack factor is very, very much minimized. So if you configure it that way, then yes, it is secure. But otherwise, if you're just connecting to have it listening on a public port and then connect via that, then it's susceptible to a brute force attack.
And frankly, you know, he's usually pretty smart about all this stuff. So it's quite possible that in the back of his mind, he knew that's how he was doing it, and he just didn't explicitly say that.
Yeah, okay. But be warned. Migrating from Drupal to Nokia. Nikola. This is cool. This is a nice short thing with the scripts available publicly. Very, very cool.
Yep.
Short, sweet, to the point, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
And that was the last one for this month, as it happened. So pretty cool all around. We had quite a bit of comments going on this month, and it started with a comment on an episode from last December, actually, the 13th of the 12th, and it was related to how we use Linux, and it was Crayon giving comments about CalDAV for Android and such. That was pretty cool. Then we had a comment on episode 1458, which was Free Culture and Open Source Animation by CT, which is also back in September 2014, the 9th actually. And Syfin, S-Y-N-F-I-N, it was Klaatu commenting that
Synfig, I think.
Oh, good Lord, thanks for being here. Synfig, yes. Syfin, S-Y-N-F-I-G-N. Anyway, this is why I also have dyslexia. Anyway, that is a 2D animation program, which is pretty cool. And Klaatu sent me a little tutorial that a friend of his did on one of the magazines. Sent me a link to it, so if you happen to come across that, it's absolutely excellent. Then we had comments to my episode, or sorry, not my episode, but the Many-to-Many Data Relationships by Mike Ray, 1569. And we get into a discussion about how to deal with tags. And to be honest, I'm not overly impressed with the answers, really, because they're very complicated, and I don't like complications, unfortunately. Stuck in there, I don't know if you got it, there was a comment by Borgu as well, which I must say I did kind of agree with. I don't like to be negative about shows, but believe me, this is bad. I think he had his slight comment about that. So if Mike wants to address that, he can always do that as well.
That was the whole topic mostly went over my head. I'm not a DBA.
Yeah, and I don't think I will ever be. Mike Conway got a quick shout out of a thank you for Beginner's Guide to the Night Sky. And I can't stress enough how chuffed you feel as a podcaster when somebody just drops you an email, even if it's a one-liner or sends you a thing on Skype or not Skype, but Twitter, or puts a comment on the episode, just a little bit of feedback. Somebody out there is listening. One of the thousands of people who downloaded the show listened to the show and thought it was cool. That makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. I've gotten some wonderful email responses.
It is the currency of which podcasters survive, it has to be said. Then we had two small comments relating to the Down and Out in the Magic Kingdom. Correct spelling of Kissimmee.
Kissimmee?
Yep. And we had 5150 with a link to the Haunted Mansion facade,
I believe.
Facade, I should know that. Just give me one second. So, comment on the XFS file system. We had Jonathan talking about why Daniel Robbins, creator of Gentoo, recommends it. So, continue reading that. Feedback on the ultimate cooking device was left by Mordancy. The best cheap way I found to light a charcoal in my charcoal and chimney has been to use either newspaper or paper towels.
Yeah, that's I've used wadded up newspaper myself.
I've used petrol. Yep. And then comments from Johan V about the episode on Gorgiola's episode on C++ programming, and saying how useful some of this stuff was. And the Wine and Linux episode, lots of comments. UNV, Free Like GNU, and Andrew Conway all commented relating to ways to introduce kids to Linux, and UNV recommends Doodoo Linux, which for some reason the link, you need to fix the link on that. There's an Open Spades alternative by Free as in GNU, and gives you a link to that. And Andrew Conway is just gives some comments back on that episode. We had on Klaatu's episode about hacking, we had me making the point that here on Hacker Public Radio, we've been exposed a little bit more than most to the general mass media's interpretation of the name hacker. So to me, I'm more than happy that if somebody, I don't know, puts a paper clip with a piece of sellotape on the wall and thinks it's useful and thinks they're a hacker, that to me is all the better, because it reinforces more the other end of the scale as opposed to the evil, bad, nasty people. And then we also had Michael coming in with a comment. Sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
To me, a hacker is just someone who wants to get the job done and will use whatever is handy to get it done.
Absolutely. Yeah. And yeah, absolutely. But my issue is for other people's interpretation of that is it better that people think that they are a hacker? Is it better that the public thinks a hacker is somebody who's evil and will essentially is the cracker aspect? Or do they think it's some lame, cheap way to do something? You know, two ends of the extreme, two ends of the scale. And I think we're so far down the end of the scale to the cracker end that it's no harm to bring it a little bit closer and make it more accessible to people. Then we had two comments on your episode. One was by GigSphere, and it helped his understanding, particularly talking about salted hashes and hashing algorithms. Can't say more than that, really. It's the whole point of the episode, I think.
That's what I was trying to do.
Then we had some comments on the Ingmar Steiner interview, which lots of people... Lenny, dear. Did you listen to that episode the whole way through to the other voices at the end?
I did indeed.
And
some of them sounded a little bit better than the voice that is doing the automated summaries on HPR. I wondered if you were thinking about using some of that.
Well, funny you should mention that. Yes, just as soon as a Java programmer can come out of the woodwork and download the simple application that Ingmar was talking about and make it so that I can use the same functionality as eSpeak, but with using Miri TTS, please somebody get in touch with me. I'm sure if a Java programmer could do this, do it in 20 minutes, then we can put that up on their website, fix it on their wiki, and then have something like that available for people to download. And ideally, if we could get it into the repos as well, so that it's a wrapper for Miri TTS, it would install and you could go, I don't know, Miri Speak, blah,
cool.
Echo something into Miri Speak, and then it comes out on a WAV file. Like, yeah, just, and then dash V, like the eSpeak languages, that you can pick the voice, and Bob's your uncle, Maggie's your aunt, Tom's your first cousin. Yep. So volunteers, please step forward. This will, of course, relieve you of your one show, one contribution a year, especially after you record a show telling us how you did it. Well, lots of people express an interest into that. And yeah, keep it coming. How to install LAMP. We had TCUC, Tucuk. How would you read that?
TCUC, I think.
He mentioned he'd like to have more stuff on virtual machines, testing software and server applications. Valid point. Klaatu is going to record something about that, which is actually brilliant, really. So keep bugging hosts for, oh, that was a brilliant episode, but did you think of this? So that way I will get more shows in. And then when I get more shows in, you get more shows in. And then we had Christopher N. Hobbs giving a high five to... Gopher on his episode. So that was the comments for this month.
Good month for comments.
Yeah, not bad at all. Not bad at all. They're all available if you press the letter P on the main website. So speaking of other things, we had on the news, I had the fantastic idea of doing live stream from upcoming events based on... did I talk about this last month based on a sign, the on-air sign type thing?
I don't remember that.
So, basically a wine bottle holder with a non-air sign, just put a light inside it and then start recording. And then I was thinking, yeah, perhaps we can stream and stuff from events. So I have not had a lot of time to do a lot of stuff this month, but the discussion on that was interesting and continued, and how we would do it and if people were going to or up for it. Then we had Dave Morris with the sad news that they weren't going to be able to have an odd campaign table. And then Rebecca and Philip Cornomal-Newborough and Philip Cornomal came forward and rallied the troops. And as we speak, in the bowels of Oxford in the UK, there is a HPR table currently manned by four strapping young men. And a picture of those will be in the show notes.
Good. I'll look forward to hearing the shows.
Yeah, so do I. They've got Philip, well, we'll talk about it next month, but he already has done some excellent interviews at the Lincoln Lug. And he's got a new Zoom recorder, so I don't think anyone is safe. So I put out the call for FOSDEM 2015. If people were going to go, would they be interested in doing a table? And the thing about FOSDEM is that you really do need somebody there. They say two people minimum on the table 24/7, or, you know, for the entire show. And really, you do need that, because there's so many people going through, even when it's quiet and in other events, there are so many people there that they can't get into the talks. So then they go around to the vendor booth or to the booths. So you really need the people to be around at all times. So nobody has, basically very few people have answered the call, not enough to be able to support that. So what I'm thinking of doing now is contacting other podcasters, not only in Europe, but mainly around Europe, but around the world, because I was thinking then of doing a FOSS podcasting booth, so just to promote other shows and all the basically shows on linuxlink.net and the other shows that are in Dave and I's little tool for checking podcasts. And it would be great then if we could have some of other shows' listeners or hosts available for particular periods of time at the table. Then it wouldn't just be a HBR table, it would be podcasting in general. And we could maybe make that work. What do you think of that as an idea?
I like it. Thinking outside the box a little bit here.
There you go. Then we had an Alpha Geeks podcast, a new podcast that was mentioned in episode 1591, and some questions about mobile recording devices. And people have recommended Zooms. Dave Morris, son has a Tascam DR07 Mark II. Should probably put a few of these up on the website, actually.
Yeah, it's always good to have that information available. And, of course, the old standby, I did one with a Sansa clip that I just attached to my collar.
You would be amazed at how many of the interviews that I've done that have ended up coming from a Sansa clip, which was my comment on this thing, is just record with whatever you have. No, any recording is better than no recording. If you've got a camera with you, record a video and we can extract the audio. If you've got a phone on you, just record on the phone. If you don't have that, then dial the HPR number and press record. Yes, it's going to cost you, but get on to Mumble if you've got an internet connection. Sansa clip, basically everything and anything. It's like the digital clock. Virtually everything that has a speaker and a microphone in it can now record audio. So get us. Don't be too worried about if you've got a brilliant recorder, use it. If you don't, use what you have.
Yep.
So then I had the very depressing news that it's been 25 days since anyone uploaded a show. And thankfully, we're out of the black for next week, which is, you know, scary. And the discussion was more centering on how do we solve this, you know, shark tooth. We have no shows, we make call for shows, people send in shows, there's a big bunch, then people relax a lot, and then we don't have any shows coming in again, and then we put a call out for shows. So how you do it is you record shows in a bunch and then you space them out over time, which I think is a brilliant idea. And I'd like people to start doing that more than dumping shows. I'd like to have 2 weeks in the queue, which we don't have right now, but there are lots of guys going to Odd Camp, so I'm not that concerned about it. We'll be able to fill up. The week that you hear this has just been filled by MI Bill and Insicus. And then after that, you can expect some Odd Camp episodes. But I'd like people to just, you know, put it in your calendar, put a recurring appointment. If you think you can do one show a year, then put a recurring appointment in, do, you know, one show a year on your birthday or something. And if you have a New Year's resolution, you want to do more than that, then put in a recurring appointment in your calendar. And you don't have to stick to it, obviously, but be nice to get them in. You can always, you know, sit down, record a wedge of shows like in one go and then space them out over time. It's you know, we like to space them out over a 2 week period, because if you could theoretically put all your shows out in once after the other, because scheduling is now done by the people who upload the shows. You go to the calendar page, you pick the dates you want, and you put them in. Ahuka, you just record your shows and you pick the dates that you want.
Yeah, and the way this, the way that I had done this, it started with the LibreOffice series, and I thought, well, I could crank out one of those about every 2 weeks, and I've pretty much stuck to that, except when something comes along. Like, I know in January there's going to be this gap because the New Year's shows are just going to run for like 2 weeks by themselves, and which is fine. I have no problem with that. And then the security and privacy thing, which I know that one was started by you, Ken, because we were doing the community news and you said, I really need someone to tackle this. And I was like, well, I guess if no one else gets to it, I will.
Absolutely, yeah.
And no one else got to it, so I did. And what I did is I made a commitment that I would get out a show once a month. So to me, the thing that I think helps is to make a commitment and, you know, do it on whatever schedule works for you. So this has worked reasonably well for me. Now, I'm doing a lot more shows than most people, but it's stuff that I'm really interested in doing, so that's not really a problem. If you can only do, like you say, one show a year or once a quarter or whatever it is, make the commitment and just start doing it. And I think very often a good way to do it is to, you know, pick a big topic that you really like and then just break it down into small pieces.
Absolutely.
And that's very much what I've done. You know, LibreOffice is a huge thing, but I just take a little piece of it every 2 weeks and say, all right, I'm going to spend 15 minutes looking at this little piece. And I think I'm probably 15 or 20 minutes on average for those shows.
The thing to remember, though, one point about that is you're making a commitment to yourself. I don't need to know about your plans to make shows. And the reason I don't need to know is I get a lot of things in from people going, I'm going to record the show, I'll have it to you in a week. And then in a week or two, somebody else, you know, they'll email me going, oh, I got delayed, and so the show's not going to come in. You know, I have this saying, a show isn't a show until it's a show, and it's a show when it gets uploaded to the FTP server. Life gets in your way. Sometimes I have a whole go of shows that are ready to be edited. They're not edited yet. When I get time, they'll be edited. When we need them, they'll be there. So make the commitment to yourself and just send them in. But yeah, that's pretty much it. And if you don't like hearing a hookah or anyone else on the network, the absolute best way, guaranteed, to get them off the network is to record more shows and get your friends to record more shows. And then there'll be no slots available for a hookah or any of us.
Well, that's right. I can't program anything unless there's blank slots there.
There you go. And I think a lot of the stuff with HPR is you ask the question and everybody takes one step back, so you end up doing it. That's pretty much how I ended up doing the community news and the administration and that sort of stuff. So there you go. It ain't rocket science.
No, it isn't. And the thing that if it's holding anyone back, you might think, well, I'm interested in this, but who else is? And, you know, on paper, why would anyone want a series on LibreOffice? But I can tell you, I've gotten great feedback from it. There are a lot of people. And I mean, what's our average download now, Ken? 3,000 a show, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
And, you know, and I keep getting comments from people. And, you know, sometimes I got an email from Allison Chaikin, who I respect immensely, thanking me for one of my shows. And it's like, oh, well, that's cool. Because, you know, a couple of months ago in Linux Format, I read this long interview with her. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, she's really big into the automotive software and stuff like that. And, you know, I sort of knew about her, and it was like, oh, she liked one of my shows. And I get lots of comments from people. You know, sometimes it's emails, sometimes it's comments on the HPR site, sometimes it's on Google Plus, because that's where I tend to hang out. So I know there's people out there doing it that are, you know, listening to these shows and enjoying it. So, you know, even if you don't think there's a huge audience, you might be surprised.
I can guarantee you actually will be. So, okay, back to the, because if you ask me, there's no point asking me if somebody's going to be interested in, because I am interested in these shows. There hasn't been, literally, there has not been a show on HBR that I have not listened end to end to, and that I've not enjoyed on some level. Some of them, especially when people are trying to stretch the definition of what's interest to hackers, it gets me definitely interested. So, just a quick note here from Patrick Daly, the next, which is Pokey to you and me, the next HBR audiobook club will be recorded on the 14th of October. At 7 p.m. Central U.S. time, 7 p.m. Central U.S. time. And the book is The Call of Some Word That I Can't Pronounce by P.H. Lovecraft. The Call of, hold on, I'll paste this into the chat for you, Oka. Maybe you can read it for me.
I would call it Cthulhu. It's H.P. Lovecraft. It's a real classic in the horror genre.
I will not be reading this.
Well, okay, but it really, you know, now Lovecraft.
Have you read this one?
I've read some of his. I don't know if I've read all of that, but you know, this the award that is given to fantasy writers is called the Lovecraft Award. So
okay, fair enough. Yeah, probably
tells you something right there.
Yeah. You know? Not a big fan of the whole horror genre, I have to admit. I get too drawn in, and then, yes, I'm a big scaredy cat, but what can I say? 5150 wrote in to say the intro and outro clips, what is the word on the intro and outro clips? And I, like a smarmy git that I am, replied that everything is fine for me, when in actual fact, I think it was in my bill, took the liberty of pointing out that no, things were not right. Since the server move, file-based browsing, so, you know, going to a directory that doesn't have an index dot whatever, it requires, you can't just browse up and down the directory, and I was using that. So I fixed that, and my humble apologies goes to 5150 for my complacent attitude towards his bug reports.
You mean we weren't supposed to be browsing through all the files?
Well, I thought it was a useful feature. My point of view with HBR is there's nothing on the website that isn't public. You know, you probably don't want the web server. It's the web server. You don't want to use for spam or whatever. But it was fine. But Josh is with anhonesthost.com, has different views on the world, and I'm very glad to have them because I feel a lot safer as well. So that was a pretty cool move.
Indeed.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're still there. Okay. But there has been a few questions about the new theme music, and we have updated the theme. And they, just to give you a quick summary again, the intro and outro are now two separate files. They don't contain any mentions from anyone. So if you have the intro and outro now, the idea is that if there's a change of sponsor or they want to change the sponsor message for any reason, that we don't need to redistribute that to all our hosts. You can continue to use the same one. It's unlikely that we will add any new text. And if we do, it's not the end of the world. We just wait for them to flow through the system. Basically, it's me being lazy. I don't want to have to re-download all the shows, edit everything, and re-upload them again. So that's pretty much the purpose for having that. So the shows are now made out of six different parts, five required. The first one is thanking the hosting provider, which will be a mention to anonymoushost.com for those that are on the HBR website, or archive.org for those that are going over there. You don't need to add those, that will be added automatically. The show summary is taken from say.php on the HBR website, and it is, it's that speaking voice that says it is blah, 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 today's show is entitled blah, 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 and the duration is. Have you been enjoying that or not? Has it been useful to you?
You know, it doesn't do anything for me particularly, but, you know, I'm not opposed to it.
I must say I get up in the morning and I'm walking down at 6 a.m. down to the train station, and it's good to know what day it is.
Yes. Okay, so yeah. That's a different set of problems, Ken.
There you go. And then we have so that will be added mostly automatically by the server. You can choose to add it if you wish, but you have to kind of stick to the template. Then we have the HBR intro music, which you can download. If you choose not to put that in, that's fine. If you choose to put it in, that's also fine. The show, this is the most important thing. This is the one that you need to do. Long as you like, any topic that you like. The audio quality doesn't have to be brilliant, but it does have to be audible and of interest to hackers and not spam, basically. And then the outro music can be downloaded. If you have your own outro music, you can do it. And the text must be according to what's been agreed, and that's on the back. That's written there as well. And then we have the epilogue for people whose names begin with Pokey.
So the last few that I recorded and uploaded, I just uploaded the show itself. I didn't tack anything onto it. Because it sounded like, well, we're still changing things, and it was like, fine, put anything on it you want.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier for me. What I probably will do is try to get Socks to do a little bit of fade over so that, you know, the intro is fading down and the show itself is starting up, because a lot of people like that. So it's a little bit subtler. So I'll try and work on that. But it is my preference that people just upload the shows, because it's a lot. It makes it a lot cleaner all around.
Yep.
Well, we're at 58 minutes. I don't know what it's going to be when our trunks hit silence, but I don't have anything much else to say, except I'm getting lots of tweets from people who are at Odd Camp, and I hate you all. I hate you all.
Well, that's not very nice.
Well, in a sort of very friendly sort of way, obviously. I'm really annoyed I couldn't get over to that.
I'm going to add a little announcement here, because I've got this platform and why not?
There you go.
And that is the con that I'm involved with now, PenguinCon. Our call for talks is now open. So if you go to penguincon.org, you can submit something. You kind of have to be in the general area of the Midwestern United States for this to make sense, but just trying to get the word out to people that we're looking for it. And I handle all of the technology track. So if you send me anything halfway decent looking as a proposal, there's a very good chance I'm going to accept it.
Do you want to do a separate interview on that? Just
Yeah, we can do that. Or I can just record something. How do you want to do it?
That would be better. It's getting a bit late here, and I need to spend some quality time with my wife.
Okay, fine. I'll record something and get that up to you probably in the next couple of days.
Will we be having HBR be having a table presence at that convention, or do you do tables?
I cannot staff the table because I'm running this technology track. I don't know who from the HBR community is thinking of coming to this. So at the moment, I'm not aware of anything.
The first question is, are there tables?
Yeah, there are tables.
And would HPR fit into your type of tables?
It would be slightly different. I don't mind being slightly different. The thing about PenguinCon that you want to bear in mind is it's both science fiction and technology.
So people who are interested might be
right next to, you know, someone doing geek jewelry or, you know, someone selling books or whatever.
Sounds like my kind of crowd. Yes, very much. Anybody going, give us a shout, please, and we'll see that the booth kit gets to you and that you have everything that you need to make it a fantastic event.
Yeah, and I'll get that show out to you in the next few days.
Okay, cool. Well, you know what to do. Just upload it to the thingy. And
oh, I do indeed.
Once your show notes are there, then I don't need to thank you, which is always, always, always a good thing. Anyway, indeed. With that, join us now and share the soccer, folks.
You'll be free, hackers.
You'll be free. By the way, did you notice that one of those voices was an RMS voice?
No, I didn't.
They've deliberately made a RMS voice. It doesn't sound half bad, actually.
Yeah, you're referring to the one that was pasted in on all of the New Year shows?
Yeah, that's the one. If you, by the way, if people have preferences for one of those voices, do drop me a line about it. And don't forget, I am looking for a Java, somebody who has done any Java at all. I don't think it's very difficult from what he says. So if somebody has done any Java at all, could you give us a shout and see how we can make that Mary Say thing? Okay, tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of
Hacker
Public
Radio.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.